encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hi, welcome, welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg, excited to have you with us for this program called Pain, Power, and Potential, How God Brings Pearls Out of Our Pain. And our guest today is Shayna Grooms. We're going to be talking about three ways to claim godly hope in the middle of pain, the most important decision to make when facing confusion, why anxiety and worry don't make things better, and what you can do instead, the two reasons you must take positive action now, the biggest mistakes Christian makes regarding chronic pain, the easiest way to help someone else who's in pain, four simple strategies to grow spiritually during times of pain, Shayna's favorite method for moving forward during pain, and also a three-step formula to unlocking God's power, especially during times of pain. Shayna Grooms is a teacher, author, and speaker who encourages, inspires, and brings hope to women that God can turn their pain into a pearl for his glory. She is a speaker over at womenspeakers.com. We're excited to have her here with us today. Welcome to you, Shayna. Sorry, got your name wrong.
That's all right. Thank you for having me, Marnie. I'm so excited to be talking to you today. And it's just a privilege to know you.
Oh, thank you. And it's so fun to have you here. And of course, this is not one of our favorite topics, right? All of us, at least I always just think if I could help my family, the people I love, the people I know to never have to suffer pain, I would. I would do pretty much whatever it took.
I understand that. Yes. I feel the same way. Yes.
That is not life on planet Earth. And so because God allows pain and in fact promises that there will be pain and tears while we're here, we're going to talk today about his perspective on that and how it can help us to get through tough times. One of the things that you had wanted to talk about was three ways to claim hope, godly hope, yes, in the middle of pain. So let's just go ahead and dive in right there.
Okay. Well, when I was thinking about how to claim hope, I was thinking about these three particular ways. And the first way is to simply believe that God cares about you and your pain. I think sometimes it's easy to feel like maybe God is a little distant during that time, or we get the wrong view of God, that he's lofty, but God is very relational and he does care about you at all times, including during your pain. I think about the story of Lazarus. I think about different stories, but with Lazarus, we know that he wept and he also cared about Mary and Martha during their pain of losing their brother. And so he understands the pain here on this side of eternity. And we can trust that he really does care. He cared about people who went through emotional pain, physical pain, and spiritual pain. And he definitely wants to come alongside of us. And so we can claim godly hope during this time because we serve a God of hope and someone who really does care about us.
Yeah. Yeah. So go back to the three ways to claim that godly hope. The three ways were, just tick them off for us.
Okay. To believe that God cares about you and your pain, yep, to trust God with the pearl making process, and to rely on trusted Christian alongsiders. Those are the three ways that I believe we can claim godly hope.
Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the pearls in just a bit. What is a Christian alongsider?
Okay. I love that term. I first heard this term from some dear friends of ours in a small group, but an alongsider is someone who comes alongside of you and walks with you as a trusted Christian friend. It's not someone who's necessarily before you or behind you, but someone who walks alongside of you in whatever phase of the journey you are in. And these people are meant for encouragement. They're meant to cheer you on and to not leave you at any point, so that you always have someone you can turn to, just as we can turn to Christ.
Oh, that's so cool. And I know one of the things I've been thinking a lot of in 2022 is John 20:22, where before Jesus goes back in heaven, he says to them that he leaves them with peace. And then he breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. And at that moment in history, it changes from God being like Jesus being with them, like an alongsider, to the Holy Spirit being in us, right? And this amazing opportunity we have to live on this side of the cross where the Holy Spirit is in us and other believers are alongside us. Such a beautiful shift in how God relates to us.
And I love that idea of the Holy Spirit, of course, being our best alongsider because he's in us, but then our trusted Christian alongsiders having the same Holy Spirit to help encourage us, especially as we're in pain, to have that godly hope to move forward, to take the next step, to do whatever we need to do to experience his power and his healing.
Pain can definitely be confusing. Pain, we're talking about any kind of pain here, physical or emotional, any kind of pain, really relational. When you're in that confusion, what is the most important decision you could make?
This is probably the most eye-opening thing that the Holy Spirit has given to me, and that it's to allow him to have complete control over our perspective. And so when we're facing confusion, we often are afraid that we can't see the right way or we can't see the right thing. And it does confuse us. So I think the most powerful thing we can do to stop that confusion is to ask God to alter and change our perspective, to see in a way that he is seeing. And Marnie, that has changed my entire life. I get emotional thinking about it. Because that has changed how I can not only view pain, but I can view other things as well, because his perspective is often different than ours. Scripture tells us that his ways are higher than ours, and we know that. But when we ask him to change our perspective, we can see the blessing, or we can see the lesson, or we can see the wisdom that only he can provide.
For sure. And, you know, I think of that so often when I say the Lord's Prayer every morning when I'm just waking up. And I love that part. Our Father who art in heaven, his perspective is so much higher than ours. And just like a helicopter pilot can look down and tell us ahead of time, you know, there's a traffic jam coming. You're going to have to take a detour and get off the highway now. You know, God can help us through these pain points when we can only see what we can see, just this little teeny bit ahead of us, and he can see the big picture. So I love that. And it's so important for us to ask him for that.
Yes, it is life changing.
Right. So let's talk about why anxiety and worry don't make things better and what we can do instead.
Well, I think we all can attest that anxiety and worry don't make things better for us and they hold us captive. So I think what we can do instead is go to God and ask him to lead us out. And I think this can look differently for different people. I think that's why it's important for us to each individually ask God where he's going to lead us and how he's going to lead us out of this captivity. I absolutely believe and we know that God can heal miraculously and he can heal instantaneously. However, with my story, that's not what God did with my chronic pain journey. He led me to godly counseling. And he also led me to some medication. And I still believe that he miraculously healed me because I know healing all comes from God. But it was not instantaneous. And I just want people to know that that's okay. That we will praise God if it is. And we will praise God if it isn't. Because he will take you down the road that he wants you to go. And so I think that's one of the most important things that I learned about anxiety and worry is that he can have his way with it when we follow his plan.
Right. And I think a lot of the anxiety and worry that come for Christians is, you know, if you just had more faith or if you did something different, there's a lot of kind of guilt and shame that comes with that. And if we look in scripture, it isn't true that every single person got healed. I mean, the day at the Pool of Siloam, he healed one guy and he walked out and all the rest of them stayed there broken. And I think that was one of the hardest days for Jesus, because he was in his ministry typically healing pretty much everybody that came to him. But you think even with that, you had the limitations of, could they get to him? I mean, maybe they lived too far away to even get to where Jesus was. So even when Jesus was on earth, every person on earth wasn't healed. And it's God chooses these things. And like you said, it is healing, whether it comes instantaneously or whether it comes gradually, or whether he takes us home to heaven to heal us. It's a healing any which way.
Yes. And to trust that he knows what's best is the most freeing thing we can do during a time of anxiety and worry. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly what you're saying, Marnie, where I almost felt guilty at one point because I had cried out to God. And I do have the type of faith, I believe, that that God can heal me from anything instantaneously. And when he didn't, to still claim that faith was actually a faith builder for me. Yeah. And so that's not to discount the instantaneous healing that he's done in other people's lives at all. But it definitely goes along with what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know for a lot of people get really tripped up on this and really feel like it's something that we are earning or we are deserving. I remember there was a day, and it's so stupid because I had the stomach flu and I was so sick. This is decades ago. I was so sick. And for some reason, while I was so sick, I begged God to heal my eyes. Now, that was kind of random because I had the stomach flu. So why wasn't I asking him to heal me of the stomach flu? But for some reason, that time I asked him to heal my eyes. And I was pretty much legally blind. I had worn big, thick glasses since I was a little girl. And I just had really poor vision. I'd gotten a bad astigmatism. And it was years after that, then even a whole decade after that prayer, that God let me have LASIK surgery. And now I have 20/20 vision for the past 25 years.
That's so amazing.
Amazing. And at one point the surgeon asked me, he said to me, it's not a miracle, Marnie. And I said, well, it kind of is, because yesterday I was blind and today I can see. So whether we say it's a miracle that God put mud in my eyes or whatever, or that a surgeon used a LASIK tool, when God gives us any kind of physical healing at all, any health at all, it's a gift and a miracle. And he doesn't always do it the way that we demand. And I think that that's really the key, is the humility piece, is that let God be God. We say, yes, Lord, yes, and let him be God.
I couldn't agree with you more. That's it in a nutshell, is what you always say, is to say yes to God.
Yeah.
Every single time.
even if he says no to what you're asking for, then say, okay, I say yes to your yes. I say yes to your no then. You know, and we were talking before we came out here, I've been sick for a while here, just, you know, bronchitis and laryngitis and sinus infection and all that. And my husband, and we were about 6 weeks into this and my husband got COVID. And I'm like, oh, God. And I said, where's my yes here? And God just prompted my heart. Your yes is to say no to COVID. And I said no to COVID and I didn't get COVID. Now, I have all this other crud still going on, but I didn't have to get COVID. So for us to try to understand what God is accomplishing, what God is calling us to do, where he needs us to be, which ER, which whatever he needs us to be and when, ministering to who, we have no idea. We have no idea.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And there is a lot of peace. There's a lot of peace that can come in the process when we trust him, that he knows what's going on and we don't have to.
Yes. And it takes that anxiety and worry out of it so much, because we don't have to feel that there's one canned answer to where God is leading you versus where God is leading me. And it just, it's like you said, it allows God to be God.
Right. Yeah. So what are the two reasons that we need to take positive action now, and even maybe define what that might look like?
Okay, so I think one way to take positive action now is, if you are currently hurting, is to stop the downward spiral And I understand the downward spiral because I have spun downward more times than I can count. But sometimes when we're in pain, that can lead to this downward cycle of anxiety and worry. And then that can lead to more fatigue, let's say. And that can lead to more chronic issues flaring up and so forth. So we need to take positive action now by stopping that downward spiral. And that might look differently for different people. But, you know, one of the things that I may do is reach out to a Christian alongsider and say, I need you to pray for me today because I want to take a step up and out instead of down. And it may be something where you do make a phone call to see a doctor. You may make a phone call to talk to a licensed Christian counselor, but to take a step to stop the downward cycle will lead to a lot of positive movement if we do that now. Mm-hmm. And then the second way that we can take positive action now is what I touched on before, but it's to take a moment, take a breath, and ask God to reshape our perspective when we're in the middle of that, I'll call it a crisis, because pain can feel like a crisis at times, and especially chronic pain when you're so used to the battle that some points just become a crisis point, is how I would describe it. And it's during that time, if we can just open up to God and say how we're really feeling and just ask Him to help us regain His perspective, trusting that He will have a purpose in this too. Those are just wonderful positive actions that we can take to help us move forward instead of stay stagnant or even move backwards.
One of the things you've said a couple times is the perspective piece, to ask God for His perspective. And I like to think of Revelation 3:20 as Jesus standing at my heart's door knocking, kind of my head's heart knocking and saying, can I come in and talk to you about this from my perspective? I really feel like that's what God wants to do, is speak to us about it from His perspective, because His perspective is radically different from ours most of the time.
And I love that visual, Marnie, because the farther I go with my relationship with Christ, mm-hmm. I always say the more visual I think He's making me, because you can ask my husband, I am not good at visualizing things. Like when we were building our house, he could see certain things before built. I could not. And so he would have to draw out pictures for me, So having those visuals, like God knocking on my head or on my heart to say, let me see your perspective, that will stick with me. So I thank you for that.
And then this year, with my theme being my heart is to say yes to God every single time, and even to the point where I want to be in a position of readiness to say yes, no matter what He says, no matter what He asks, I want to just know, no matter what you say, I'm going to say yes every single time. And I think it's really helped to kind of, it's another way, kind of like, God knocking at my heart's door. It's another way to reframe it. When I'm in a situation where I don't know what to do or what to think, I just say, Jesus, where's my yes here? Where's my yes to you here? And it's amazing how even in a situation where there's a lot of pain or confusion, there will be a simple thing that I can do to say yes to Jesus right in that moment. And it's been really fun to just watch Him make that clear. Like,
And isn't it amazing, Marnie, how He will lead us to sometimes the simple little things to move us forward. Right. And if we just obey and do it, then we're freed up,
Absolutely. And it can be something. So a lot of times people say, how do you know it's Jesus talking to you instead of just you talking to yourself or, a demon or something. And a lot of times it's because the thought that comes isn't a thought that I would have had. And yet it doesn't go against scripture, right? It's just this random thought, like, well, I wouldn't have thought of that.
Yes, I know. I'm giggling because I now get it, because I do think that's what God has been doing with me. I think that's he gave me this vision of a pearl coming home from an MRI one night when I had just about emotionally and physically had it. And I went home and Googled that image of a pearl because I thought, I really think he's wanting me to pay attention to this. And he unlocked a whole vision for me with just that little pushing or vision, for lack of a better word. But it's because I'm not a visual person. And so when I saw it, he caught my eye.
Yeah. You know, and in that moment, you it required faith on your part to say, I'm not just imagining things. I'm not just, you know, losing my mind. Actually, you went home and you looked it up, you know, and I think that's really the humble heart that God is looking for, is the heart that just says, if this might be Jesus, I want to hear you, you know, yeah. I want to act. I want to do what you're calling me to do. And if it's not God and I make a mistake, but my heart was to do the right thing, I know he's got me. I can't make a bigger mistake than he can fix. I mean, I already am a big mistake. It's like, he's got a problem all day long if we're just going to go by that, you know? So, yes. But he's much, I mean, I just blew it just earlier today. My husband told me something I had done. I was like, oh no. And I really blew it. And I feel terrible about it. And I can't undo what I did. And I can't go back and be smarter in the moment because it's already passed. But what I know is that God redeems even our failures, you know, and that's the God we serve. He likes to take, our yuck and turn it into beautiful stuff.
So. He does, Marnie. He so does. And he doesn't leave us at that place. And he doesn't.
Praise God.
I know. He doesn't require us to live in our failures. You know, he pulls us up out of that pit and says, come on, girl.
And conversely, he doesn't expect us to live in perfection.
No,
it's neither. It's that we just get to live. We get to live. And then he lives with us, in us, through us. Yes. So that's so cool. What is one of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make regarding chronic pain?
One of the biggest mistakes is feeling alone. When you're hurting, you can feel alone, either by choice, or you may feel a little ostracized or believe that you are. And the second is feeling ashamed. And so I've been there a little bit, because I've became what I felt like. No one said this to me, or I'm sure even tried to make me feel like this, but I was the girl with the issues, you know, one issue after another for 11 years of my life. How could I not be the girl with the issue, you know? And so I could start to feel ashamed. And I found that that's directly from the enemy, because God, when he did have his way with me, I remember, Marnie, I was cooking at the stove and I was thinking, but I don't want to be the face of chronic pain. Like, I don't want to tell all that, because I'm already the girl with the issues. And now you want me to tell about the issues? It was made very clear to me then, it's not the issues you'll talk about. You'll talk about me and how I work in the issues, and how I work with the girl with the issues. And so I felt very fortunate then and humbled that God would take such a messy part of my life and be able to offer his hope even to others who are going through this. So...
Right. And, you know, I mean, it is lonely when you don't get to go places and you don't get to do things because of your pain, because of your situation. I mean, it gets lonely, and you can even push God away. It's like you can just get more and more lonely.
Yes, it's definitely something. It's a real battle. It's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for someone to be in pain, there were several times, you know, that I had to say, well, I can't go because my feet aren't going to be able to put up with that. Or I can't do that because of this issue, and so on. And so I understand that feeling of loneliness. And sometimes it's easy to get to the point where you think, well, this is just the way I'm going to live, so I'll just accept that.
Right.
But if you'll just take that time to really grab a hold of Christ during that, Oh, he's just the best alongside her. And you are never alone, ever. And what's even more amazing is how much work he's doing, even behind the scenes or in your heart during that time that he's going to be able to use. You are never 1 second alone. Never.
It's one of my favorite phrases. I like to say it for myself, and I like to say it for my adult children and my grandchildren and for everyone I love. Never, ever alone. Never, ever alone. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful phrase to repeat, yes, especially to those we love.
Yes.
You know, but especially for people who may be hurting today or don't know that they're loved, you are, and you are never alone.
It is so much comfort. So what's one of the easiest ways to help someone else who's in pain?
It's simply to walk alongside of them, which I mentioned the term alongsider, but I do have some examples of things that people did for me, because sometimes I need concrete ideas, Marnie.
Yep.
You know, I can be an idea girl. I love ideas, but sometimes I just need somebody to give me something a little concrete to get me started. Mm-hmm. So what I have really appreciated in my life during my time of pain from my alongsiders are simple things like text messages out of the blue saying, hey, how are you today, Shayna? You know, maybe a prayer sent through email or through a phone call. I loved when people would show up and give me a cup of coffee and sit down with me. I'm a coffee lover. And so most people who know me know that right off the bat. But, and I'm very social. So I like if people just show up with a cup of coffee in their hand to give to me. And the people who are alongsiders, it's okay for them to see me a mess in the middle of a mess. You know, they can come right on in and just sit down and kind of not just talk about your life, but also their life too, because you can still be an alongsider even when you're in pain.
Right.
And I also loved it when people would offer to drive me to doctor's appointments because I wasn't feeling up to it. You know, this is just real life stuff. And it's showing up without being asked, even if it's not show up at your door. I realize some people aren't like me. They don't want someone to just knock on their door and show up. But one of the phrases I try not to say as much anymore, even though it's always meant well, I know when we say it, is call if you need anything. Mm-hmm. Well, for someone in pain, if you know that and you're a true alongsider, then you know that they need you. And so just go help them. Help them with their children. Help them with the laundry. Help them with meals. Whatever you can. And like I said, that's just a personal thing of mine that I try to think, how could I walk alongside of them in this moment instead of just kind of distancing myself?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important. And even to give somebody two choices, like, you know, can I swing some dinner by for you guys tonight? Or would you prefer that I just send you a text prayer, or, you know, just give them a choice even. But I know when you're really down, when you're really sick or in a lot of pain, you actually don't have a lot of bandwidth. You don't have a lot of mental capacity to make choices or to pick up the phone and call somebody. It's just really too much. And so to take the initiative and to just be there for someone is just huge. Yeah.
And Marnie, I really like that idea about choices, because I have had a friend do that before. And at that moment with what I was going through, it was better that she just do something remotely instead of come over at that point, you know. Yeah. And so that was nice to be given that choice. And so that's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, what are four simple strategies that we can use to grow spiritually during times of pain?
Well, the first, I believe, is to believe that God is for you and not against you. This is foundational in believing that God is a good father. And if we get that messed up in our minds, then it's really hard to grow spiritually, because we can start to doubt that he's for us, but he so is. Second is to keep praising. I have offered up some of my most humble praise during my weakest times. And that is very changing because I'm praising God for who he is and what he's done, not because of my circumstances. And it's all about God at that time. Third is to continue talking to God. Allow him to know how you're feeling, what you're thinking. He can handle anything. And allow the Holy Spirit to make intercession for you. You know, scripture promises that he will, that he'll make those moans and groans for you when you have nothing to say, even if it's just to go and simply sit with God. But don't give up on that. And finally, stay grounded in the scripture. Everything starts with the word of God. In Genesis, he speaks things into existence at the very beginning, and his word is so powerful. And, you know, anything that I've written or really come to terms with and reflect on has all started with his scripture and the word that I've hidden in my heart, because it all starts with him, because it's all about him. And to grow spiritually, we have to stay grounded in the truth, because the enemy likes to give little nuggets of truth, but they're half truths because he can only tell lies. Yeah. And so we have to be able to battle that with the word of God.
Such good points. Going back to numbers one and two, number two was praising. And praising just shifts our perspective tremendously.
Yes, it does.
In fact, I do these praise challenges, and at Marnie.com, you can just, on the front page, you can just ask for a free download of the booklet, How to Do a 7-Day Praise Challenge. But I was in the midst of a 7-Day Praise Challenge, and something just tragic and dramatic happened. And I felt the need to just pray, like, oh, I needed to pray. But I was in the midst of a praise challenge. And so instead, I just started praising. And I was like, God, okay, I praise you that you already knew this was going to happen. I praise you that you have gone ahead and prepared the way. I praise you that you're orchestrating all things about this. I praise you. And I just praised him for who he was and what he was doing without me asking for anything. It shifts things so much to just kick into praise and not always be begging or bussing or, you know, demanding. He is so powerful, and he can take care of us. And your first one, what was your first point again?
It's to believe that God is a good father.
Yes.
For you and not against you.
You know, and I do feel like, I think it was, John Eldridge, who said, you know, that's the biggest lie that Satan wants to force on us, is that God is not as good as he says he is. And because we live on planet Earth and there is so much evil and so much pain, it's actually an easy lie for us to believe, because we see all of this tragic stuff around us and we think, well, how can God allow this? But this isn't heaven. This is Earth, where people have free will and choices, and it's not God doing the evil. He is not an evil God. He's such a loving God. And he really does care so much for you as you're going through it. And he cared very much for Jesus as Jesus was being tortured, as That's Jesus fair. Was trying to carry that cross up the side of the hill, as he was being crucified. God never quit caring for Jesus.
You're exactly right, Marnie.
Yeah.
Never once.
Yeah.
You know, and that he was being a good father.
He was.
That.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's just amazing.
And then you realize
how much you are loved.
Yes. Right. And there is a cost. There's a cost involved in our freedom. And
yes.
So what's your favorite method then for moving forward, even during the pain?
It's trusting that God has a purpose in the pain.
Yeah, that's good.
And this is when I really latched on to the idea that God is for me and not against me. He has a purpose in this. And that's when he brought this whole pain to pearls thing within sight to me, that when I did Google about the pearl, that there has to be an irritant to form the pearl. There just has to be. That's how he's made it. And so that's when I feel like the Holy Spirit impressed upon me, your pain is the irritant, but I'm going to make pearls for my glory and my kingdom. And you're going to share this hope with other people that he can do the same with their pain. And so there is purpose in it. And we may not know it on this side of eternity, but believing that has changed my entire viewpoint, and it has given me such a calling to make sure that people know you can have godly hope in the middle of this trial, because he can have a purpose in it. And so you're not hurting in vain. He can use anything and everything in our lives to bring glory to him.
Yeah. Yeah. And he does want the glory too. He wants the glory out of it. And I know when I did a study on pearls many, many years ago, and the oyster, then it wraps that irritant in its most precious treasure. It's like, you know, what we want to do is we want to eradicate it, get it out of there, pull it out, get rid of it as fast as we can. And that's not how pearls are made. Pearls are made by actually coating that and lovingly going over and over with it again. And it's like, oh, it's so opposite of what we want to do.
It is. Anyone who says it's easy to trust the pearl making process is giving a cliche answer, because it is not easy,
right.
But it is so worth it. It's just worth it, because that's where we can find our hope. Mm-hmm. And hope is essential in this whole process when you're going through pain.
Hope in Christ alone. So what is the three-step formula for unlocking God's power, especially during pain?
Okay, first, trust God's faithfulness. Mm-hmm. I don't say that as a cliche statement. I always say it like this. God is so faithful. And that's just, he just is. You can't outdo his faithfulness. And so when we trust his faithfulness, we are unlocking and unleashing his power in us to free him up to do whatever he's wanting to do. But trusting his faithfulness is key. Yeah. Second is to focus on your relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's the relationship that comes first. And when we focus on Jesus as our number one relationship, which can be hard to do, Marnie, because we live in a life that's pulling from us all the time. But God doesn't pull from us. He pours into us. Mm-hmm. And so that relationship with Jesus Christ unleashes and unlocks that power that he can have. And thirdly is to believe that God can take your pain and turn it into something beautiful for him. And get ready to talk about it. Get ready to talk about him. And because there is power in offering that wisdom and that hope that he has given to you to help others on this side of eternity as well.
Mm-hmm. I think all of us can just think of a person who was going through an incredibly difficult, painful situation who ministered to us. I think every person listening to me can think of someone who was in that situation and did it for us, modeled it for us. But when we're in that situation, we don't want that. We want to get out of the pain, right? We want to get out of the pain. And yet we already know from experience that a lot of time God chooses to use us in the midst of pain instead of without any pain. And thank you. Your encouragement today has just been beautiful. Heartfelt, obviously, comes from a lot of personal experience of going through the hard times. And, you know, God has brought alongsiders next to you to help you get to the point where you are today, and to bring you to the point where you get to be an alongsider for so many. You guys want to totally check out Shana's availability at womenspeakers.com. And Shana, thank you so much for being here today.
I thank you so much, Marnie. And I thank you so much for your willingness to walk alongside millions.
Oh, thank you so much. You guys, thanks for being here. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. And I hope that these words are really an encouragement to you as you go through whatever it is you're going through right now, or walk with somebody else through their pain. You know, we're all going to have our turn. I think none of us really get out of it completely here on earth. But whether you're the one suffering today or you're the one walking alongside, just remember that you are the hands and feet of Jesus. He lives through you, in you, and he ministers to you first so you can minister to others. Okay, have a wonderful day. See you next time. Bye-bye.